We're joined today by Pat Hines, former director of the Trap Rock Center for Peace and Justice, and also retired professor on environmental health at Boston University. She's been a frequent guest on our peace segments, but she's written a new book, maybe to say a collection of articles between 2010 and 2021, is called Hope But Demand Justice. So Pat, what motivated you to pull this collection of your articles together?
Well, I was first asked to by the publisher Haley's. It was not originally my intention, but I do have a column in our local regional newspaper, and also have been writing opinion pieces on all of the issues that concern us: nuclear power and weapons, climate, biodiversity, COVID-19, militarism, veterans, possibilities of peace, international collaborations, and the pursuit of sexual, racial, and economic justice. So her suggestion was that I pull these articles together on these various topics, and that their publisher would publish the book called Hope But Demand Justice.
Well, when you went through, a dozen years or so of write-ins, and had the opportunity to look back over time and see what you're writing about, what were priorities, what sort of struck you about how things had changed or remained the same over that period of time?
Well, of course, there were some new issues like the COVID-19. However, in terms of militarism, it's been a persistent theme, and if anything, almost worse today, I would say, if you want to gauge it by the budget. This is the largest U.S. military budget in history. We are throwing money through weapons into the war in Ukraine and ignoring problems at home. I think the thing that has truly measurably worsened is, of course, the climate crisis. And I have to say that the IPCC, International on Climate Change, report that came out in February, a few days before this war in Ukraine began, has been ignored totally by the press. And I will just use one line from it, which is, we have 3 years as a world, 2025, to bring our emissions down, or the fate of the world is sealed in terms of increasing crises.
Since we have you on, obviously much of the world, at least the Western world, is focused right now on the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And, certainly I think the peace movements have been very outspoken, even though the United States had a role in sort of, prompting Russia to invade, that, worldwide combination of the invasion, no excuse. But at the same time, I get really worried about the amount of relatively liberal people who are sort of cheerleading to send in more weapons to Ukraine. What has been sort of your response to how the media and in general how we've responded to the situation in the Ukraine?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think that the response on the part of the people is very similar to the response on the part of the government. Biden, I mean, whether it was a gaffe or not, basically said quite recently that he wants to see Putin destroyed. He wants to see Russia weakened and Putin destroyed. And our head of DOD Pentagon, General Austin, when he went to visit recently, said, our goal is to see Russia weakened. And Nancy Pelosi said something to that effect as well. I feel that this war is really a geopolitical war, that our country, through its weapons, is actually carrying out with Russia. And the other thing I want to say in terms of how is this all going to end, I read a piece, opinion piece by Jeffrey Sachs that I thought was most effective. And essentially, his conclusions were that the war is going to, that we are prolonging through sending weapons and NATO as well, is ultimately, it may weaken Russia, won't defeat it, but it will absolutely destroy the Ukraine. So that the more weapons we send, the more we are sustaining a war that is destroying a country.
Now, reading a little bit of your background, one of the points you make that you you say you were fortunate to come of age during, you know, four of the most important social movements of the 20th mm-hmm. century. You know, what were they, and mm-hmm. you know, how do they, you know, come together and impact upon, you know, your perception or your life's work?
Yes, they have absolutely influenced everything, every choice that I've made for work, and also what I, the 10 years of writing. And I was fortunate, like anyone of my generation, to come of age in the mid to late 1960s through the early 70s. And there were four of the most significant historical movements in our country that happened. And they too came of age during that period. The first was the civil rights movement. And that movement really impelled me to teach African-American children in inner city schools. And the lessons that I learned, my eyes were open. The lessons I learned from them have followed me the rest of my life. The Vietnam War, simultaneously, and so vilified by Martin Luther King in his famous Materialism, Militarism, and Racism, that clarified my conviction, as it did for so many in this country, that war is not the answer. And I love this line from John Milton to use it, including for this current war. What does war but endless war still breed? And that's exactly what is happening with this war, with NATO, the US, the engagement, weapons to Ukraine, etc. The women's movement of the late 60s and early 70s was deeply, deeply influential on me. And I've carried it with me throughout my life, living what I've learned, standing up to authority in places where I thought they were making wrong decisions, et cetera, inequity in pay. But it was most recently a book called Sex and World Peace by a group of researchers that brought together for me, I think most intimately, the principles of feminism, the belief in it as a movement to change the world with respect to even to peace and to war. And essentially the key finding of this group of researchers was that the degree of a statistical finding, I will add, the degree of women's equality is the most important factor for the relative peacefulness or degree of conflict in every society and country, more important than the degree of democracy, than religion, et cetera. And another thing that they and others have pointed out, that studies have shown that women are critical in areas of conflict to peacemaking. Further, that, and I will add, and this stays with me as it does with so many, violence against women is the most underreported crime in the world. And it gets much worse during periods of conflict and during war. That is rape, that is sex for food, that is demanded, et cetera. And finally, the environmental movement, which was also came alive in that same period of time. And ultimately, it led me to go to graduate school in environmental engineering, to work for the EPA Superfund program, and ultimately at Boston University as a professor there, to work with teams of poor people and agencies, in state agencies, city agencies, in public housing to address the problem of lead poisoning, of asthma, of use of pesticides to get rid of rodents who were causing, or rather I should say triggering, asthma, et cetera, and also to do a book on community gardens in inner cities throughout the country, and to see community gardens in inner cities as extremely important to address food scarcity, but also to the lack of beauty and nature in cities. So all of these movements, like so, as with so many of my generation, were deeply influential. And for me, they came together, as opposed to what we talked about earlier, single issue movements. They're all interrelated, like the web of life is.
I'm talking with Pat Hines, Hope But Demand Justice, former director of the Trap Rock Center for Peace and Justice, and is published by Haley's Press. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.